SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 201 XM, 219 XM, yeah, XM 219. Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website. So, Steve Beck, good morning. The stars came out, and the stars that we knew and the stars that we anticipated and some stars that may have been blocked by an eclipse, you name it. Really, everything you expected out of the weekend. The Grade 1 action, obviously Haskell yesterday and the two Grade 1s in California, Clement Hirsch yesterday and the Bing Crosby on Saturday, the Vanderbilt on Saturday. It really had everything that you were looking for. Two-year-olds busting out all over. Siblings of Triple Crown winners. It was really, really nice. We got the right weather here in the Northeast. Finally, after a pretty relentless several days. And it did leave the turf course a little sloshy, a little mushy here on Saturday, that probably affected to some degree the way the bowling green turned out. How about a dead heat in a graded stake? Everybody loves that, particularly the connections. Nothing like two winners' photos and two trophies. More happy people. For those that are uncertain about it, well, would you have preferred that either horse had nosed one way or the other? No, it was fun. And we'll talk to Chuck Lawrence, actually, this morning, because that's a great win for Chuck and for Matt Shearer, who followed up the win on Saturday with a win last night at Saratoga as well. How about Carlos Martin and Matt Shearer? When Matt Shearer gets hot, it's funny. You can't say, Matt Shearer and one trainer, because he's got a handful. And Shearer seems to win races in bunches when they happen. And back-to-back day wins for the Shearer team in that baby blue and yellow with the lightning bolt, thundering sky, cyclogenesis, and all the other meteorologic horse names. And Glorious Empire ran a absolutely courageous race, only to be caught at the wire with Channelmaker. Channelmaker was well fancied as a alternative. The whole day here was, on Saturday in particular, was just filled with results that were impressive. And Tenfold's win in the Jim Dandy. We'll talk to Steve Asmussen, who's having a dynamite meet along with Ricardo Santana Jr. Santana is the bust-out star in the irons right now around these parts. There's no doubt about it. And Jose Ortiz, who's been struggling at Saratoga, it very odd. In fact, Seth Merrow, the one yesterday after Seth and I did TV, Seth was doing some handicapping for either Monday or Wednesday, and he saw the fact that Ortiz going into Sunday had only three wins through the first week at Saratoga. Well, that's okay. He eclipsed that yesterday at Monmouth. Unbelievable. Jose Ortiz combines with Chad Brown for the two wins. Good magic, does as expected. and the absolute three-year-old division leader with Justify retired. He dispatches the group in the Haskell. But Jose Ortiz wins that. He wins the matchmaker on Alicia's World. Won the Wolf Hill, the match series, turf sprint in Primus, who has emerged as one of the top turf sprinters around. And then he also won on Name Changer in that Monmouth Cup, which also actually part of the match series, the dirt long division, and that with Alan Goldberg. So Jose Ortiz and then Joe Bravo got the other two stakes, burned, terrific performance, and it's actually very similar to later in the afternoon yesterday, the early evening, when Unique Bella, we'll get to her, but Unique Bella and Burned kind of win the same way, the Molly Pitcher and the Clement Hirsch, respectively. Everything, you know, watching from Saratoga, everything you saw, it looked like from Monmouth was just terrific. They had a great crowd. They had great handle. They really continuing the season of good feelings around Oceanport. I didn't see how the Cubs did, but I know that somebody, who was it? Was it Jim Dunleavy? I think might have been live with the pick three parlay that hooked up to the Cubs game. And that game, I know, was delayed by rain. I didn't when I went to bed. I didn't see what was happening there. But they had that. They had the combo bet that it was more of a novelty than anything serious. But just trying to feel out all the options with the sports betting. So many parts of the weekend to examine. The two-year-old picture I suggested, and the American Pharoah sibling for Baffert chasing yesterday. She was terrific on Saturday. 86 buyer for her. Baffert actually followed up yesterday. Roadster with a very professional win and had to do a couple of different things. It had to kind of run through some inside traffic. He broke okay. He didn't break great. Then took control and won professionally. Baffert with two 2-year-olds of both sexes coming through as advertised Saturday and Sunday at Del Mar. I mentioned Unique Bella. She actually ran hard early, and then Smith gave her a nice beat on the backstretch, a nice steady, you know, easy portion of the race, then quickened away, but then had to hold off that LaForce, who did look like the only player in there that was a real threat, that had run a race that was in line with Unique Bella. But Unique Bella adds to her impressive array of successes. We'll talk to Phil D'Amato, who won on Saturday, the Grade 1, Ransom the Moon, that deep group. Ransom the Moon, who's very capable. Flavian Pratt, who had a very good weekend himself, had a win in the California Dreamin' for Fly to Mars and for Peter Miller. Miller winning at a steady clip as well at Del Mar. Back to Saratoga, and of course yesterday the Shuvi put up a video yesterday of the wonderful Hall of Fame Philly/Mare. She had a tremendous career. 2 Jockey Club Gold Cups in her resume. I put up the win picture from her first Jockey Club Gold Cup. And on that topic, Philly's facing the males. Well, the confirmation over the weekend, Saturday afternoon, that Mark Cassie and Gary Barber will take Wonder Godot and face her off against the boys in the Travers. And the Travers, the amorphic Travers picture, starting to fill up. Whether it was the finishers, top finishers in the Jim Dandy, tenfold, kind of spooking when he saw the when he saw his own reflection. He saw the video screen. At least Ricardo Santana thought that that's what kind of spooked him, that he saw the infield board and the moving images, and that contributed to his, you know, kind of jumping off to his right, and it took Santana a couple of strides to straighten him out and get him back pointed toward the wire. Meanwhile, Flame Away was plucking away. He is just so much fun. I said yesterday at TV, this is the kind of horse you, as a horseman, you dream a horse comes to you like this. A horse that just, you know, has got some talent and is a hard trier and digs in and doesn't like horses passing him. Flame Away with a game effort. One of those situations where, in this case, he sees Vino Rosso get past them in the final jumps. And Vino Rosso was an interesting storyline from Saturday in the Jim Dandy as well, because it was clear, at least from what Johnny Velasquez could read. I hope that Vinny Viola and Mike Rapoli and Todd Fletcher didn't mind me kind of craning an ear listening to Johnny explain to them what he thought was going on with Vino Rosso, because Vino Rosso lagged behind, had kind of that almost that Zenyatta Breeders' Cup Classic at Churchill look, didn't it? Just kind of fell out of it. And you thought, okay, well, he'll. Then it looked at one point, you know, the camera, you don't even see the chicklet. You know, you're watching the action live, whether your eyes go up to the backstretch or whether you're watching the screen, he was out of the picture. And Johnny said he tried everything to get him motivated. He said he thought there was quite a bit of moisture still and just did not care for the footing. And when he came off the turn, and whether he found part of the crown where it might have been firmer, and he said it came off the turn and he got better footing, and all of a sudden he dug in and started to make up ground. Well, if that's a mile and a quarter, I don't think they want to do that in the Travers. I think they're going to want dry fast, and they're going to want footing that Vino Rosso participates in from the bell. But he comes running, and one of those quizzical performances that actually will make it a little harder to figure out what to do with him later, what to do with him when it comes time for Travers. And then you fold in the results from Friday. Hofberg, he kind of did to the Curlin field what Good Magic did to the Haskell field. Bravazo ran solidly, beaten three, and then it was a ways back to Lone Sailor. The time was, you know, the time was steady. It was not, you know, a seriously run race pace-wise, but all you had to do, actually, is look at that other, what was it, the Monmouth Cup, right, that went a few ticks faster. But I'm sure that Lucas and Calumet, I'm sure Bravazo will come back and try. I don't know what Lucas is going to do with Sporting Chance, who's the ball player, the million dollar body, the 10 cent mind. He's a problem. So I don't know what they do next with Sporting Chance. But as you can see, when you fold in Gronkowski, who's waiting in the wings, Travers will come together nicely. Tenfold and Hofberg, as we talk going into the weekend, both, you know, feeling like the horses that have the upside into this second half. Travers, Pennsylvania Derby, Breeders' Cup Classic, etc. It should mention, too, Nicodemus, that we had fun with and kind of discovered as the sale was happening with Avi Friedberg, took on Larry Goichman as a partner as well. We were with them Thursday night at the gala and saw them on Saturday afternoon. They were delighted with Nicodemus's first start for them. He'll go on to the Travers. So you can pretty well count on a nice full gate for Travers. Meanwhile, talk about the sprints for a minute, because the performances of Imperial Hint and Promises Fulfilled, they were spectacular. They were absolutely eye-popping, jaw-dropping, tongue-wagging, however you want to characterize it. And we'll talk to Louis Carvajal and Dale Romans. The Carvajal portion with Imperial Hint, winning a grade one, and all of Carvajal's graded snake wins and now a grade one have come with Imperial Hint. And this is a horse that is easy to like and root for, and the connections too, because Carvajal, one of the most moving portions of the aftermath, Carvajal being greeted, coming out of the winner's circle, a whole slew of Saratoga backstretch food service cleaning crew workers that flooded around him. Louis Carvajal worked at Saratoga at the age of 16 is when he came to Saratoga, and knows countless people that work all around the building and all around the racetrack. And it was really sweet for him to come here and win a grade one. And all the people doing a lot of the same work that they were doing when they were together 25 years ago. One of the best parts of the success of Imperial Hint. Ray Mamone, a fun part of that story too. Mamone in his 80s. He's owned horses for 4+ decades. He's had some good ones. A lot of them named after his late wife. It's been gone a while and a couple of years, and it's been tough for him. He hasn't come out to a lot of the wins of Imperial Hint, a lot of the races. But he wasn't going to miss this, and it was really fun to spend some time with Ray Mamone. I was very happy. His son in attendance, and it just was pretty special. You'll hear. In fact, we'll go to, you know what we'll do, because we got a lot to do today. We'll probably go to Carvajal out of this break, Casey. And then Dale Romans. And it'll save a lot of the Promises Fulfilled talk and a whole bunch more, because Dale Romans has got an arm's length of starters all over the place. West Virginia Derby this coming Saturday, and Mr. Freeze. So many mothers, Seven Trumpets, and we'll talk about all of them. He's got some 2-year-olds too, obviously, but Promises Fulfilled, heading to the Jerkins, and followed up his Woody Stevens Corker, where he ran so hard, so fast, that by all rights he should have plummeted to the back of the pack, but didn't, stayed on. And in this case, did the same thing and even better. Decisive. And a special win there, too, because Bob Barron is a Capital District, the owner, been with Romans for a long time, and that's a huge win for him. Barron was somebody else that was emotional and in the winner's circle. Really, just a great day. Great day. Talk about the other results, the maiden races, good maidens turned up. We'll We'll go over the pick six carryover, by the way, with Mike Beer. We'll do that again. I mentioned Phil D'Amato. Who else? Johnny D, top of the hour, of course. And Phil D'Amato, that's right. Carvajal, Romans, Johnny D, Steve Asmussen, Phil D'Amato, Mike Beer, Chuck Lawrence at the races. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio. The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
The sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun of the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool fun in the sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete fun in the sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. Looking back at the weekend, of course, as we start the conversation with one of the happiest scenes that you're going to see, and so much involved in Imperial Hints grade one win in the Vanderbilt on Saturday. Louis Carvajal Jr. joins us, and Louis, congratulations again.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Thank you for, I'm so glad that I'm back in your show, and I'm glad that I got to meet you personally at Saratoga. It was a pleasure.
Very much for me as well. And Ray Mamone and just everybody associated with this horse, Louis, and you've had utter confidence in him from before the time he ran. And you and I have fleshed out the whole story and Ray's story with the mare. But now
to win this kind of a race, add a grade one to your resume, give you a showcase on a big stage like this, the story just gets better and better.
Oh, yes, it does. It's been a fun and amazing journey with this Imperial Head, and it has taken us, myself, my family, my client, Mr. Mamon, and my family back home in Chile, and everybody. I mean, I got so many friends and trainers from Mamon Park and parks. It just has been an amazing journey.
I talked in advance of your visit about the post-race scene as you were heading to the trustees' room and being greeted by all kinds of employees from around the racetrack, food service employees, backstretch employees that all have known you for 20-plus years, and going back to when you first came to Saratoga at 16, talk about that and how much it meant to you to see those people that really you sort of stand for them.
Well, yeah, it's amazing. I came in 1998 to New York, and with the trainer that we used to work, me and my father, Mr. Raymond Mike Hernandez. He took us to Saratoga, and you know, we worked there. I walk horses and gallop a few, and then I used to help my father work in the afternoon at the track, and then in the grandstand cleaning and helping clean, and used to work in the kitchen and the cafeteria, and I got to meet so many people, and you know, there were, because I wanted to be a jockey, and everybody said that I look good on the horse, and so I got to meet all these people, and I was there many years. I have friends, my friend Orlando, who we rode together, we got together for Angel Pena Jr. So I got such a good memories, and everybody, pony people, and I know so many people there, and then I took another job, and I went to New Jersey with Bob Dusher, and so then it was hard for me to go back to Saratoga. I had a family, so coming back to Saratoga and have a horse running, my first horse ever running at Saratoga, and a grade one, the way he everything worked out, and then seeing all these people, and then it was amazing, because I wanted to walk back to celebrate, and I was getting stopped by all these workers, and they hugged me and kisses, and to see me there, it's like, you know, a dream come true, and it just felt so good, you know. It just felt amazing, Steve. It was just great. It's like, I'm still like a little bit on a clown nine, you know.
Of course, and you deserve to. With this horse, and let's talk, and obviously the future, we know where the end game is for this year toward Breeders' Cup. But there's been, you know, some moments. I mean, the trip to Dubai, which went wrong, and him getting sick, and then having to not restart completely. But whenever that happens, I mean, look at Charlie Baker with Joking. He went out to the Breeders' Cup, and horse gets pneumonia and almost dies. You bring Imperial Hint back. Pick it up from there.
I was looking forward a year when we got invited to Dubai. Sam Elliott, he was always by my side and supporting me about, you know, with this horse going to Dubai, and the horse left first, and I left a couple of days before, but I know when he arrives, like a temperature. And as soon as I got there to Dubai, I went to see the horse, and we didn't have a good bet report. And that day, I think I went back to the hotel and I opened my suitcase, and I see the silks from Mr. Mamont there, and I just wanted to go back home. I just wanted to go back home and take my horse with me and go back home. It was like really sad, but you know, at the end, the main thing, it was just to get this horse healthy, just to bring it back to the USA, and I was there for the race. Everything, it was beautiful. I met a lot of people, but the good thing is I was seeing improvement in my horse. It was getting better by the day, and my groom went back, and I stayed behind with the horse, and I was not going to leave him by himself until I know it was 100% back to that, 100% to go back to USA. And you know, it's like you create like a bond with the horse, and I do talk to him, and I did talk to him when I was in Dubai. I'm not going to leave him to you, better. And luckily, got 100%, and we got back home to United States, and we went to parks, and we follow up with the vets. And luckily, he's a very strong horse, and he came out great, and that was a plus. You know, when I started training and back in the workout, and I saw him the way I was, it was a big relief that we had our little horse back in 100%. So it's that way to Dubai. It was good, but at the same time, like it was like a bittersweet to be in a great day of racing there. But at the same time, like I said before, I just wanted to take my suitcase and everything and grab just my little horse and go back to the United States, because it just felt, it was upset. I was very upset about it. But luckily, we got him back to the United States, and I was so happy when I saw him working and happy and tough, and just the way he was before. So sometimes we get lucky. Some other trainers and horses, they don't have the same luck like I did.
Well, since then, has reeled off the series of performances that, other than the Churchill Downs, the handicap in the slop, he's been just tremendous. The Breeders' Cup, it took Roy H. You kind of ran into a buzzsaw that day. He looked like a winner late and gets corralled. And now he basically is not just as good, Louis, because he doesn't need the lead anymore. He's raiding now for Castellano, and that move off the turn was just breathtaking.
Oh, yes, I know. You know, Saratoga, it's tough. You know, we have seen many favorites and superstars horses there get beat. And that day, you know, I was, you know, you always worry about it, and we had a lot of speed. But you know what? I told Javier, the horse is doing great, fantastic. I said, I'm not even going to say anything to you. I told Javier, he's a professional rider. He knows the track. He knows very well now in Imperial Hen. You go up there and you break out of the game, and then you do what you think is the best for us to win this race. I left it all to Javier, because sometimes you give instructions, but on the race, everything changed by a second. So, and having a rider like Javier, you know, you can give an instruction. You know, you might say a little something, but he'll, and the way he's doing it, he did it the last two races, took him back. The horse relaxed nice for him now, and it definitely gives you more confidence, because, like you say, he doesn't need the lead anymore. He doesn't need to be in the front end going 21 and change 43, 44. So the horse, I mean, for Javier, it relaxes for him really nice. And that's a big plus, Steve.
It's exciting to see when a sprinter that had been a need for the lead type, when they, whatever the lesson is or whenever the moment comes to them that they don't have to run all out every step, and when they've got the kind of turn of foot or the sustainable speed that he's got, and of course Promises Fulfilled had a little bit of the same kind of a performance, where we're going to talk to Dale next in about 10 minutes, and he sat off Mark Hennig, and that was impressive. This makes him a very dangerous horse going forward. Talk about, you know, how many times you want to run between now and going back to Churchill.
I think he'll have one more race before the Breeders' Cup. I'm hoping that I can go to the Breeders' Cup first. That's our goal. That's our plan. And hopefully everything goes nice and smooth to that. But I think he should be running in September. I haven't get a chance yet. Probably next week or so, we'll sit down with Mr. Mamon and discuss about next race. But we have a race. I think it's in Laurel, Maryland, around the 15th of September. And then it's also, again, it's the 29th of September, I think, is the Boxburg in New York. We're going to see what suits better for a horse, given a time frame to the Breeders' Cup between the races. And I know I already talked to Mr. Mamon. I would love to win a race, which is the Breeders' Cup. You win, you're in challenging. But at the same time, we got to see what's best for the horse. If he has to pass one of those Breeders' Cup when you win, I just find something that he can run. And then if we have to pay the entry fees, it's fine. But right now we're looking at a time frame. All depends how the horse trains to this next race. But it will be, he'll be running in September, Laurel or New York, one of those two, hopefully.
Well, the Vosburgh is a win and you're in. And at Laurel, you're talking about the DeFrancis. And he's won at both Laurel and at Belmont. Obviously, the True North effort most recently, and I think the General George, if we go back to last year. So either way. But the Vaz, I guess, would make sense. And the timing, he's a horse that has done both, it seems, Louis. He can run with a regular, 4 to 6 week interval, or he can run fresh. So nothing seems to really bother him.
No, it's very small horse. It's a profession. This is one of the things about when you have a not such a big horse. Sometimes when the horse is bigger, you have to train a little hard, get him a little sharp, and this little guy puts a lot of effort into the training, and so I know, like you say, it makes more sense. I think that if you do run on the 15, it'll give me about 7 weeks, a little more than 7 weeks for the Breeders' Cup, and then if I run in New York on the 29, that gave me about 4.5 weeks, now, probably close to 5 weeks. So we'll see how he plays, see how he trains, and I will ask Imperial Henry what race he wants to go.
Finally, Louis talked about the horse physically, because while he was being hosed off, Chad Summers helped you, and you were in his barn, and I was watching him hose him off, and people characterize him as a quote-unquote small horse, but he actually is long bodied. He's a very different type. He's bigger than he looks, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it does. You know, every time, like, if I see a picture or when I see him running in the outside, and then you can know he looks small because going in the post parade in Saratoga, I saw a few pictures, and the pony is twice as big as my horse. And then if you look at the race and if he's going the outside, you can't even see him going outside horses because it's so small than the other ones. But what I like about him is just, he's a little longer body, and now we age, it's more mature, so his muscles, his neck and shoulders and the back end, it's so well put together that he has a it looks small, but you know if you can put a pony next to him, one of those ponies from Saratoga, you put him next to him and the pony is twice as big as my horse. That's the way it looks. But we were lucky to be there at Chuck Summers barn. He was great via his barn. It couldn't get any better help from him. Being out with Mind Up Biscuits, and it was great. I was so happy to be at his barn and be together with Mind Up Biscuits, and they were like two little rivals, but we didn't get to run together in Dubai, but we did at the Breeders' Cup. But unfortunately, the Breeders' Cup, you know, Del Mar has a very short stretch, so I got that little advantage over Mind the Biscuit, but it's such a nice horse too. So I just got to take my hat off to Shad that he was a great host. He treated me so well that day in Saratoga. I cannot ask for more.
Well, this was as enjoyable to watch as any scene that you'll see. A grade one win, and you know, with each passing exploit of this horse, a great advertisement for your horsemanship, and you gave everybody the resume, basically, between Angel Penna, Bob Durso, and the great Mike Hernandez. And it's Mike around the racetrack since he retired. He doesn't seem to age, Louis. He's in his 80s, and he looks the same that he looked 25 years ago.
Yeah. I haven't talked to him lately, but I did ask about him, and they told me that they saw him at Saratoga a few times, and he looks great, and a great person. He took me in when I first came from the United States. I got him, Mr. Hernandez helped me out, and yeah, Jose Santos, he's from Chile. He actually paid for my plane ticket to come to the United States, and he took me in when I was riding a little bit, and just great people. I got to see Jose at Saratoga, great guy. It's just great, and to coming back to Saratoga, like I said, and just win a grade one. First of all, my horse, I think it deserved it to win a grade one, and now he has it, and Mr. Raymond Mamon and myself, I mean, it was just, I could ask for more, and this, I think it helps every other trainer around the country, Mama and Parks, that have a small barn, and they're always looking for something like this that they just happened to me now after 10 years of training. Sometimes it takes longer, sometimes it don't even happen, but, you know, we're there to find this dream. And I'm so lucky and blessed that I find it now, 10 years since I started training it. And that's what keeps everybody else in the game and looking for this one, you know?
Louis, just perfectly stated and perfectly executed, and Imperial Hint continues on toward the fall assignment at Churchill, the Breeders' Cup Classic. Louis, had so much fun with you Saturday. I appreciate this, and we'll see you very soon.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. I'm glad to be back in your show, and thank you for all the support, and I'm hoping to be in your show again and again and again.
Absolutely. Louis Carvajal Jr., everybody. And you can follow Louis on, I'd forgotten, he doesn't do a lot of tweeting, but Vow to Honor is Louis Carvajal on Twitter. And if you got a horse, Mid-Atlantic, get in touch with Louis, and you'll be very pleased. He does a tremendous job. And this little horse taking him right to the top. Let's take a timeout here, and we'll go to the top with Dale Romans. Talk about his sprinter, who was eye-popping as well. Promises Fulfilled. It was kind of funny. Promises Fulfilled ran on Saturday, and then Promises Broken run yesterday. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is Express Bet Summer Treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with Express Bet. And while you're at it, don't miss Express Bet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, that's top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
With Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
This is not the first time you tried to get away. This is not a party. The people know your name. This is not a classroom with teacher at the board. This is not a cat show with prizes at the door. Go, don't you go. Won't you stay with me one more day?
We're back at the races. just finished with Louis Carvajal, and the two sprint performances were really, not that the Jim Dandy wasn't great and the dead heat in the Bowling Green, but the two sprint performances were really the highlight of Saturday. Dale Romans authored the win in the Amsterdam, setting up a return trip for Promises Fulfilled, who, I mean, just in some ways, maybe, not maybe, he ran faster, harder, and for a longer period even than Imperial Hint. Imperial Hint just kind of blitzed around the turn and then cantered home. Promises Fulfilled reprised his effort in the Woody Stevens, where he was just incredible for him to stay on that day. But Dale joins us, and we talked yesterday on TV, actually, and Dale, you got to be just absolutely thrilled with the horse, and for Bob Barron, just a real fulfilling performance.
Yeah, it was a great effort from a little horse. He's really rounding into form, becoming an awfully good sprinter.
We could go through the chapter and verse on how he got here, but talk, Dale, a little bit about the three-year-old conundrum when it comes to wanting to get to the Derby and the Classics, engaging a horse like this, testing him for distance at a certain period of time, precocity, and you know, there's so many parts of this equation, and it's such a fascinating year to discuss this, given the Triple Crown winner and his four-month odyssey. Give everybody a picture of how you approach it, and you know where the decisions come to either go to the grass, turn back to sprinting. Bring us through that with him as the test case.
You know, it's different for all people and all horses and different programs. But for my specific one, we've built my yearling buying process, everything around trying to have a Triple Crown horse, a horse competing in the Triple Crown races. That's what American racing is built around. The Breeders' Cup is super. But still, the engine behind the whole game are those three races. And the way we go look at them, bring them in the barn, even if we don't get one there, we come up with a lot of good horses that find their way, but then you just have to find their way. Promises Fulfilled, you know, when he jumped out going to Fountain of Youth, I thought, you know, you've seen so many horses that like spend a buck and winning colors that they can just go and lead and keep on growing. Roses of May was probably the best one I ever had at that, had a high cruising speed. And that's what I was hoping he would be able to do. And so, you know, you got enough points, you got to try the Derby. There's so much money involved in the after career for a horse if they're competitive on the Triple Crown circuit. But then after the Derby, you know, we said, look, his father was probably as good a miler as it's been in a long time. And at the end of the day, I would say that'll probably be where he hits his best. But we backed him up, ran to Woody Stevens. For a horse to go 43-3 like he did and keep on and stay on that racetrack that day, I knew this was going to be a spectacular sprinter. And then with the race Saturday, you know, Louis let another horse clear him and come around. And so that just showed a whole new dimension that tells me the sky's the limit with him.
Do you get to this point after June and regret trying the Derby? I mean, you have to know when you saddle them up, they're not winning the Derby. This horse in particular. I mean, it just doesn't. It can't. I understand the desire to go, and when you look at, you know, for I'm sure for Bob Barron, we know for Ron Lombardi with Firenze Fire, it was a dream to go, but look at what these two horses have done in the last, you know, 3 weeks.
Well, I mean, I disagree with you a little bit on that. They can't win, especially a speed horse. They can't win if they don't get the right pace scenario. But you have to be in there in case you get the right pace scenario. And they can, because speed's dangerous at any level. Here's a horse that did win a mile 16th race. You know, and it was the same thing that's been said about Shackelford. Shackelford took the lead at the to the eighth pole. When you give me the lead to the eighth pole, we'll take our chances in the Kentucky Derby. The upside is just too big not to be there. So I have zero regret. Now, I would regret it if I pushed a horse that it was going to have long-term damage to if they couldn't do it. But I knew this horse wasn't that tight. He's a very versatile, athletic horse. And I didn't think, you know, anything had happened, but I didn't think going a mile and a quarter, if he couldn't do it, was going to damage the rest of his career. And, you know, you're not missing out on a whole lot anyway in that time of year. Everything changes sure. after the first Saturday in May, and you reshuffle the deck, and that's when you start going horses going to the turf or horses shorting up and sprinting. But as long as they've been, if they've done something to get enough points to get in the Derby, I'll never say they can't win. You know, Chip Woolley wouldn't have driven his horse halfway across the country if he was just going on the theory that horses can't win.
No, fair enough. Fair enough. I just look at the two of them, Firenze and Promises Fulfilled, and you know, they're on a collision course here for what's always a great race when it comes to the Jerkins, the former King's Bishop. And
right, so they both ran the Kentucky Derby. They didn't fare well, but they're still here where they need to be. What did they miss? You know, it'd be different if we hurt them by running them a mile and a quarter. But it really, this is the first real big sprint racing at Saratoga in the summer for 3-year-olds, and we're both here. So neither one of them got hurt. Both of them are going into a King's Bishop. It's a great race on its own, could build a stallion, and they're both going to run very well. And so why regret going to the Kentucky Derby that you didn't go in there and win the race? I've lost a lot in my life. As long as you can regroup and get them back where they need to be, you know, step up.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Fair enough. And you've got them.
Come on,
you got them going far
with me a little bit. The people are listening. They want to hear us argue.
Well, I can bring up this topic with a few people. You know, the Jonathan Thomas, you know, that group is thinking about Travers with Catholic Boy, you know, going back to the dirt. It seems like he really proved that, you know, he's a turf horse. It's tempting. It's tempting. Understand.
And the big temptation is the value after the race.
Sure.
You know, we're here, you know, you try to, the what everybody wants in this game is a stallion prospect. And that's the game changer, the life changer. And to do it in this country, you almost have to have a turf horse that competed at those levels. I mean, a dirt horse, not a turf. They don't want a turf
right.
horse. They're not a better sire in the country than Kitten's Joy. He's always limited on what his stallion price will be. Because he's strictly turf.
Well,
so I wouldn't begrudge Jonathan for giving another shot. He knows his horse. If he's confident the horse won't get hurt because he's running on the dirt, or that he can't handle himself on the dirties, then the Remsen was a pretty good race. So if he feels that way and wants to take a shot, the way the field's shaping up, take a shot.
I think it's
what Mark's doing, running his filly in the Travers.
Yep.
I mean, around the world, that's done a lot. There's such little restricted filly racing around the world. You got a good filly somewhere else, they run them against the Colts, and they win a lot. I think that's going to be an interesting tale to the 3-year-old crop when she comes in with the Colts and see how she fares. Because as we talked yesterday, there's a good group of 3-year-old fillies out there right now.
Well, and including one of yours.
Coach Rocks. Don't tell, you know, I'm acting like he's making a good second. Really, I'm still serving. I don't want him in Alabama.
Well, they'll be. I love it.
Travers,
talk a.
Yeah, we got him going.
I lost you there for a second.
I was yelling at Travers to Mark. Make sure he keeps that in the back.
I love it. You're gonna.
Hey man, Steve Alday just pulled up here.
We'll talk to Doc either tomorrow or Wednesday.
I hadn't seen him in a while. It's good to see him.
Well, is he coming to your barn?
Yeah, he's hanging out here with me. I might have him look
nice.
At you.
Nice. Tell him I'll talk to him tomorrow or Wednesday.
All right.
Quick survey, Dale. Run down. We may bring up Coach Rocks, but you got Seven Trumpets. You got Mr. Freeze. Where's everybody headed?
Virginia Derby. Seven Trumpets will compete with Promises Fulfilled and Alan Jerkins. King Zachary just breezed and looked really good. Hopefully we'll get him to the Travers. Cold Blue, he was going to run in Amsterdam and came up with a little stone bruise, and he's coming back around. Hopefully we can run him. Might run three in the King's Bishop. So we got a lot of stuff coming up for the
nice.
Rest of the meet.
And two-year-old.
If Mr. Freeze runs really big in West Virginia, you could wheel him back in 3 weeks. That's been done before. Give him a shot with the boys, big boys. I think he's a very talented horse. He's run three times. He had two wins in the second in the Iowa Derby and ran a huge number. If you go on the trainer data boxes in the Iowa Derby. So I expect him to run big next weekend in West Virginia. If he was running big, we might throw him in there in the big stage.
Well, you've also got Free Drop Billy that has got to be getting his way, working his way back.
You know, I gave him a little break after Belmont. His last two works have been spectacular. Of course, we're going to go with the grass with him, and I don't know where we're going yet, but with his brother Hawkbill out there being one of the best turf horses in the world, we've got to give him a chance.
How about Tiz Mischief?
Tiz Mischief, I had to back off him for a little while after the Matt win, and he's just now started back in training. Looks good. So I don't know where we'll be with him. Maybe Pennsylvania Derby.
And I was going to say, did you have anybody for the Smarty Jones to prep for the Pennsylvania Derby?
No, nobody for the Smarty Jones. But, you know, one of these horses could end up over there. So everything's going pretty well right now, Steve. Hopefully we'll be talking a lot this summer.
Absolutely. I want to ask you about one more. Sort of a house horse. What's happened with CS in Charge?
You know, she came out of that race. She didn't run a jump at Pimlico. She came out just hopping, and she strained a gluteal, which is sort of like a hamstring. And so she's been on the shelf a little bit, but she's back training. She's going to start breezing. And might put her back on the turf and try something at Kentucky Downs.
Nice. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And I noticed yesterday when I was putting together some of the Q&A, you got a horse from the KRA, from the Koreans, and they're doing more and more. And of course, that Mr. Crow was the first one we noticed. Pletcher won a couple of races last summer, and now with Ben Colebrook, are you training for KRA?
Well, I don't have anything right now because those horses didn't seem – the one, two I had weren't going to make it at the highest level. So, you know, we gave them to other people. But, I'm going to do more business with them. It's interesting what they're doing. They're trying to build a program over there, and they got a different ways. That's why I want to like working with them. They're doing different things like looking at DNA. They're looking at a DNA screening of like 3,000 markers on horses to sell. And then, they had bought a bunch. They've owned enough that they just want to see how the market's pulled out. It's interesting. They're doing it in such a scientific way. And they're just interesting to talk to. But they're trying to build a South Korean program.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they invited me over. One of these years I'm going to go. Let them get that peninsula settled down a little bit, and I'll head over.
I love it, and of course they do. You know, they have a lot more dirt racing in Korea, and they've been buying. You know, people. There's KRA and there's KOID, and you see and KSA, and you know, you see them. They've been buying bloodstock for years, and you know, they show up at the sales with a tight budget, and they accrue. I mean, the whole Korean program is stocked with American blood.
The whole program. And, you know, I think it's in September. It's their day of big racing where the world comes around. They're having one of the big Asian racing meetings in Korea. Either had it or having it this year. So, you know, people are starting to take notice of them. So I got a text today that JRA wants to come in and look at promises fulfilled. So, you know, the world watches Saratoga.
There you go. And, of course, son of Shackelford, you're helping out the Darby Dan people and one of your favorites all time,
favorites. One of the all-time greats, Shackelford. He's just going to get better and better. Did you see his two-year-old run yesterday here?
Yes.
The filly of Maker, she won a nice race.
Yep.
First-time starter. You know, he just needs one big horse to get him over the hump. He's staying steady and maybe promises fulfilled to the one.
Well, Dale Roman's in great shape. Summer season underway. A couple of winners, including a stake, and had the maiden claim win for Frank Jones on Saturday as well. Gray Nile. Dale, continued success. I appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. Talk to you later. Come on.
Dale Roman's, everybody. And lots of, really, there's so many. Dale's fun. There's so many things you can throw. You can throw the change up, throw the knuckle curve. he spreads the ball around off the wall. He'll hit a few home runs. Dale's always fun. Top of the hour upon us. Let's take a break here. Johnny D standing by. And I know you're all worried. You've all been waiting. Wasn't as strong of a week for Tina in Fun in the Sun. Had, I think, three winners. So she never made the appearance on the leaderboard. But we'll find out who did, and we'll find out what Johnny thinks of the weekend. Steve Asmussen in a little bit as well. Mike Beer and I will go through the $57,000 carryover today. The AP Smithwick, the rescheduled Grade One, the first of the two Grade Ones over the national fences to open the card today. Coronation Cup. There's another three turf sprints today. Three yesterday. And they were all, in their own way, they were all confounding. the turf sprints. Very, very tough. They'll always shake your confidence. You know, you're rolling along, you get to a turf sprint, and you're like, ugh, what do I do here? So, do you go with the speed yesterday? Yesterday, the speed held. So, Johnny D. We'll see what Johnny's got to say. We had a little bit more. We had a little bit more stewarding discussions, or lack of a discussion. I was kind of surprised yesterday they didn't look at the Shoe V, and we'll probably talk to Wayne Catalano tomorrow, because Wayne's got, he's got one today, so we'll get Catman tomorrow. But he and Channing Hill and Farrell won that Shoe V, and it sure looked to be drifting out if you didn't see the head on, and they didn't look at it, which was a little bit of a surprise. Back after this with Johnny.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses, we build racehorses.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.